into the land that they've been waiting for centuries, the promised land. And here in Deuteronomy 15, more of the law, and yet a beautiful spiritual lesson about being a slave. And yes, slavery was alive in Bible days. And here in verse 12 of chapter 15 is where we'll begin tonight, of Deuteronomy 15, 12. "And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee in thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take it all and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant shalt thou do likewise." So, "thy servant forever." That'll be our title tonight. Lord, we love you. We commit the service to you. May you use your word in our lives. May we honor you through our response. We wait on you now to guide us in your truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So notice some guidelines, some rules, some laws, if you will, from Moses to the people as they go into the promised land about slavery. And if someone has been sold as a slave in Bible days, if they served for 6 years, then they were released from their slavery the seventh year. God is a God of sevens, as you all know. And when the slave left, after the 6 years, the master would then, according to the law, bless the slave, as it says there in verse 14, liberally. Out of thy flock, in other words, send him away with part of your flock, some sheep or cattle or whatever. Out of thy floor, out of thy wine press, send him with food, send him with stock, off to start a life as not a slave. You and I, the day we got saved, we became slaves. I know we don't like that word, but you can't have a master without a slave, can you? And Jesus made it very clear that he is our master and that he owns us. So he isn't just our boss. He is our master. Big difference, isn't it? Let's look at John 13, if we could, verse 13, where Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room. And notice what he said to them here in John 13, 13. "You call me Master and Lord, and say well, for so I am." He looked at his disciples and said, "You refer to me as your master, you refer to me as your Lord, and that's good, because I am. I am your master, I am your Lord." And then if you look at 1 Corinthians 6:19, God makes it very clear that when we got saved, God purchased us, and this is part of what the word redemption means, is to be purchased, to be bought back. God purchased us with the greatest price ever paid, and that was with the blood of the only begotten Son of God. Notice 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price." So notice, remember in the Old Testament, it says if someone's been bought, after 7 years, you release them. You and I were bought by God. You're bought with a price. "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In slavery, you own the person, literally. God owns us. Okay, so we're trying to draw some spiritual application out of this passage. Will God release us from our slavery? Of course he will, when he takes us to heaven. Amen? Then we will no longer have that sort of relationship, that we will be released from that, because we will be with him in heaven. and we will not be required to serve him like we have to down here on earth as his slave. In Hebrews 4:9, if you want to turn there quickly, God tells us that our release is coming. Amen? And that release is heaven. Notice Hebrews 4:9. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." This is not our time of rest. This is our time of service. But when he takes us to heaven, that's our time of rest. That's when we'll be released from our slavery. I know we don't like the word, but when our master's perfect and loving and merciful and gracious, it's actually a good thing, isn't it, to be his slave? Praise God. Because he's a great master. But he is our master. And the Bible says we will receive an inheritance even. So he's going to send us away liberally as well. Inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. So we will not only get a rest, but we get an inheritance. God will send us away liberally. But until then, go back to our passage, Deuteronomy 15:15. A couple of things. Number one, God wants us to remember that we used to be slaves to someone else. Just like he says to the Jews here, remember, you used to be slaves to Egypt. You were bondmen, same as a slave, in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed me. My friend, when we were lost, we were a slave to the devil. We were his servants. He was our master. And the Bible makes this very clear. Look at Acts 26:18, and we'll see this. So we are to remember, just like Israel was to remember, that God redeemed them from being bondmen to Egypt. God redeemed us from being bondmen to the devil. Notice Acts 26:18, Paul here recounting his mission from God. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. We were under the power of Satan. And also look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, if you would. Hebrews 2:14, again talking about our past before we got saved. And he says, Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and verse 15, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's talking about before we got saved, we were subject to bondage. We were bond slaves to the devil. God says to Israel, don't forget, you used to be slaves to Egypt. God says to us, don't forget, you used to be slaves to the devil. Now you're slaves to God. So this servant, he says an example, there's going to be sometimes when a slave says, you know what, you're such a good master. I love your family. I've spent so much time with your family. They're like family. I don't want to leave. And he said, when that happens, go back to our passage, verse 16, it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away, I don't want to leave, even though I've served you my 6 years, and you can release me at 7 years, I would rather spend the rest of my life being your slave. And Moses here is allowing for that. He's not saying they're not allowed to say, I don't want to leave, and they have to leave. No, he's saying if they want to stay, if the slave wants to stay as a slave and keep you as his master or her master for the rest of their lives, why? Because he loveth thee. Amen? Because he loveth thee. Why does Jesus want us to serve him? Because we love him. Amen? If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Jesus says to us, I want you to serve me, not because I'm your master, but because you love me. That should be our motive, because we love our master. Amen? He's a good master, and we love him. Why would we want to leave him? Why would we want to stop serving him? We shouldn't, because we love him. But it says here in verse 17, "Then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear into the door, and he shall be thy servant forever." Accept his offer and mark him in a way that makes it clear to others that he is now your forever slave. Isn't that beautiful? So much spiritual application there. That he was marked, he was willing to be publicly marked in a way that people could see, I have decided to stay my master's slave for the rest of my life because I love my master. How many Christians aren't willing to say to God, you are my master and I want to serve you for my whole life? How many Christians have stopped serving God? And here we have, in a human sense, slaves willing to say, I'm happy to stay your slave for the rest of my life. Forever. God wants us to, what's the spiritual application? He wants us to voluntarily say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for what you've done for me and what a great master you've been. I would like to remain your servant forever. And I will prove it by what? Obeying you. Slaves didn't have a choice, did they? If you're a slave, you've been purchased. You're actually owned by your master. And if your master gives you a command, you don't say, well, you know, I'm not really in the mood to obey that command. It didn't work that way with slavery. You had to obey, or there were usually some very serious consequences, sometimes death. Thankfully, God doesn't kill us when we choose to disobey, because we'd all be dead, wouldn't we? But the spiritual application here is that we should be willing to say, yes, Lord, I love you, and I want you to be my master for the rest of my life here on earth. How much does Jesus talk about being a servant? Now, that word servant in the New Testament, if you look at the root meaning, it really means slave, which they're the same thing. We just don't, we in current day English don't consider them the same, but they were. Let's look at some scriptures, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27, and see that, yes, Jesus wants obedience, but you know what he wants? He wants us to serve. He wants us to say, you are my master, I will obey your commands, but I will serve you. Matthew 20, verse 27. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your, what? Servant. Let him be your servant. Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. He talks about Moses, my servant. Look at John chapter 12, verse 26. I want you to see this is a theme of the New Testament, that God wants servants. Servants that are voluntary servants, that have said, I love my master and I want to be his servant forever. John 12, 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Romans 12, 11. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Serving the Lord. Amen? Serving the Lord. God wants us, like these slaves in the Old Testament days, to say, I love my master so much, I want to stay his slave for all of my days. Amen? And we don't just use the words. What we're saying is, I surrender to my master. He is my master now. He's the boss of my life. What he tells me, I will do. And I will spend my life serving him. I'll use my energy, my gifts, my talents, my time to serve my master. Look at Philippians 2:5. Jesus Christ here is our example. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible tells us, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, I want you to think like Jesus. What is this mind? Verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a, what? Servant. So what mind does he want us to have? A servant. A servant's mind. Jesus Christ came to serve us. And he says, and as he told his disciples, go back there, John 13. We looked at verse 13, where he says, you call me Master and Lord, and so I am. But look what he says in verse 14 of John 13. If I then, your Lord and Master, in other words, you're now my slaves, I've purchased you, or of course in this case I will very soon purchase you because he hasn't died yet. If I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, I have given you, what? An example. An example of what? Of service. Amen? This is the first act that Jesus did in the upper room when they got alone for the Passover celebration before Gethsemane. First thing Jesus did was wash the disciples' feet. He didn't do that because their feet were dirty, did he? No. He did it, as it says in verse 15, to be an example of servanthood. And even in Old Testament days, a slave could say, I love my master. I love him so much, I'm willing for him to mark me, and I'm willing to make this public declaration that he is now my master for the rest of my life. Jesus wants that from us, amen? He came to earth, he took upon himself the form of a servant. He says, I want this mind to be in you, this mind of a servant. I want you to realize, verse 13, I am your master. I am your Lord. And if I, your master and Lord, have served you, why did I do this? To be an example. Because I want you to serve. I want you to serve me. I want you to serve others. But I want you to spend the rest of your days on earth as a servant. And verse 17 of Deuteronomy 15, we'll finish there. How long does he want us to be his servant? I love that. Forever. Isn't that good? Thy servant forever. Deuteronomy 15:17. What a beautiful spiritual example for us. The day you trusted Christ as your Savior, he bought you with his blood and he said, you are now my servant. Please love me by obeying me and by being my servant forever. We already are doctrinally, but he wants us to be true in our behavior, doesn't it? He wants us to serve him with all that we have and all that we are. And he showed that to the disciples there in that upper room. First thing, this is an example, gentlemen. I came to earth to serve. He won't come the second time as the servant, will he? He's going to come as the conquering king. He's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with a two-edged sword and to rule with a rod of iron. He won't come to serve. He'll come to be served. But praise God, the day we got saved, we became the servant of the greatest master in the universe. A master that is loving and patient and gracious and generous and merciful. And we could go on and on. Couldn't have a better master. So we need to not only declare it, but live it, this great truth. Lord, I'm your servant forever. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful little lesson that you hid away here in Deuteronomy. I pray, Lord, that we would take it to heart. that you have called us to be your servants and for you to be our master. And Lord, that's how we would live our lives. You've given us your commands. May we obey them. And may we use the gifts, the talents that you've given us. And may we serve you until you take us to glory. Thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. We love you in Jesus.